1 Corinthians chapter 3, then beginning in verse 9, here's what the Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here, for what we've enjoyed so far, the singing and the testimonies and opportunity to give. And I pray now as we come to this part of the service that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to us. And we're individuals. We all have needs tonight. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would meet those needs, that you would challenge us, instruct us, rebuke us, whatever you need to do in our life tonight. We know it's a waste of our time unless you do that. And so we promise to give you our attention tonight. We promise to listen. And we pray that you'd work in our lives and do what you know needs to be done. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight would be the night they make that decision. Just bless the remainder of the service, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As many of you know, I spent most of this week down in Detroit. And you know how sometimes when you go a place you haven't been for a long time, it brings back memories. I can remember, and I remember this week. In fact, I went to the very spot I'll tell you about in a moment. But I can remember as a kid going with my grandfather. He worked down in Detroit at the what they used to call the Cadillac Square building. It was a 20-story building in the middle of Detroit. And he worked afternoons from about 3 to 12, had an hour lunch hour. And he was the night watchman. I mean, his job was to, you know, let the janitors out when they got done and just make sure that the building was secured. And so I would go, especially in the summer. My mom wouldn't let me go much when I was in school. But in the summer, I'd go often. I'd ride the bus just as a little 10, 11-year-old downtown, get off and meet him down there at work, and just stay till midnight and then go home with him and spend the night. And about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, all the janitors would get done, and it'd just be us. Sometimes my brother went with me, and we basically had the run of the building. Of course, all the offices were locked, so we couldn't go into any of the offices, but there were 4 elevators, and we could, you know, race the elevators up to the top floor. There was a flight of steps that went up 20 stories, and I can remember many times as a kid running up all 20. I'd get maybe one story now and then pass out, but I can remember as a kid running up those 20 stories, and then we were able to go out on the roof. There was a cement barrier around it, and we go out on the roof, especially at night. You could go and you could see all the lights of the city as they spread out, and it was just a marvelous sight for a kid just to see all the lights that made up the city. And my grandfather, he especially when my brother and I went, he trusted us until the time that we took the elevator up to about the 6th floor. And I challenged my brother, "You think you could stand on that ledge while I took the elevator down?" And he got out and stood on a ledge. And Grandpa wasn't too happy about that. And so he restricted us a little bit after that. But that's been 35 years. My grandpa's been in heaven now for a number of years. They tore down the building not too many years after he retired. And the city has changed. And I was reminded of that this week. I've driven through Detroit before on the freeway, and I've even gone to some meetings down at the Renaissance Center. But this was the first time I had an opportunity to just get out and walk and see the city. In fact, I walked to the very spot where the building, they got a little park there now where he used to work. And I just stayed there for a little bit and had some sweet memories of him and the times that we spent together. But as I walked around the city, I saw several different things that sort of inspired my message tonight, several different buildings. And I'm going to just tell you what I saw, and then I want to make an application. I saw some new buildings, brand new buildings. In fact, one of the buildings I saw that was new was the General Motors UAW HRC, the Human Resource Center. It's a brand new building, just opened. It's where they're going to do a lot of training and run a lot of joint programs out of. It's a beautiful building. The paint is still fresh. The windows are all still there, and they're clean. The brick that's on the front is bright and colorful. The lights all work. The marble, there's a lot of marble in the building, is spotless. The woodwork, I mean, it's all new. It's unscratched. It doesn't have any dents in it. And everything in the building works. I mean, the electricity, the plumbing, all the exit lights. And it's a sparkling new building. Just started to be inhabited. Just started to be used for the purpose for which it was built. And as a building, it has a bright future in front of it. And hopefully it'll serve the purpose for which it was built for many, many, many years to come. So I saw new buildings. I also saw old buildings. Buildings that have been in use for a number of years. The Renaissance Center itself is a good example of that. Five towers sticking up into the air, four office towers, and then the hotel in the middle. It was built 25 years or so ago by Ford. General Motors bought it not too long ago. And there are some things that I noticed on this building. There's some things that don't work. Some of the exit lights were out. Some of the hallway lights were out. Some of the windows were dirty. If you looked at the woodwork that was in the lobby, there were some scratches on the woodwork where somebody had run into it with a cart or with a vacuum cleaner. If you walked down the hall, some of the wallpaper was torn. Some of the paint was chipped. There was some brick in one of the lobbies that had some graffiti that somebody had written on it, looked like in the middle of the night. And there's some places that are being repainted and recarpeted, but it's an old building still being used for the purpose for which it was built. I mean, the four office towers were built to be offices. They're still being used as offices. The hotel was used to be was built to be used as a hotel. Now, the tenants have changed. I mean, the hotel used to be a Western. Now it's a Marriott. It used to house a lot of Ford people. Now it houses a lot of GM people. The owners have changed. It used to be owned by Ford. Now it's owned by GM. But it's still being used after all these years for the purpose for which it was built, an office building and a hotel. So I saw new buildings. I saw old buildings. I saw some reclaimed buildings. Buildings that at one time were new, buildings that were one time useful, that through neglect, the buildings were wore down. I mean, the roof leaked, water got in to the building and destroyed some of the ceilings, destroyed some of the floors. Some of the windows were broken. Electricity was turned off. Plumbing ripped out. And this building had fallen into disarray, and it was headed toward a condemnation. It was headed being condemned. It was headed toward the wrecking ball coming like it had so many other buildings in Detroit, and knocking it down, flattening it, and getting it out of the way. But I saw a building that was reclaimed because there was all sorts of scaffolds and workmen around it. You see, somebody saw the potential in that old building, and they said, I can make something useful out of that. I'll have to go in and fix the roof, and I'll have to go in and fix the ceilings and replace the floors and rewire it and replumb it. And I may not use it for the same purpose that it was originally built for, but I can see some potential in this building. I can see a useful purpose that it could serve. And so they were in the process of redoing that building so that it could be used again. And then the fourth thing I saw were a lot of vacant lots. Places where buildings perhaps once stood, places perhaps where buildings never stood. And there were prime spots. I mean, in the middle of the city, next to other buildings, in the center of town, where somebody could build a building there and it could be very useful and have a good purpose and serve that purpose. But as the empty locks, as they exist now, it's just a place that has potential, but no use as of yet. And those buildings, the new ones, the old ones, the reclaimed ones, and those empty lots, you put them all together and you have a city. Put them all together and you have what's known as the city of Detroit. And I was thinking, especially when I was reading through 1 Chronicles this week, and I saw this verse in chapter 3, verse 9, where it says, "Ye are God's building." Ye are God's building. You know, you can see the same thing that I saw in the city. You can see it in church, in our church. You can see in our church some new buildings. You can see in our church some little babies. We have one in the nursery tonight that's having fun, and that's good. I'm glad she's having fun. When we were here yesterday for our meeting, Sam and Chris had Evan with him. He came in and sat in our meeting for a little while. Becca was here. Tim and Kathy had their grandson here. We have little babies in the nursery. They're like new buildings. They're just starting out. Their paint is still fresh. Their windows are still clean. Everything works. Now we're going to get to the old buildings in a minute. And you know where I'm going, but everything still works. And they're spotless, unscratched, untarnished by the world. And they're just, God's just starting out molding them into the kind of building that He wants them to be. He's just started molding them, and He's using their parents and their grandparents and their Sunday school teachers and everybody that has an influence in their life. He's using them to mold them into the building that He has a plan for. You see, there's no building that's built without a plan. You got to have a foundation, and you got to have a plan how everything fits together. Well, these new buildings that are in our church, the little children, the little babies, God has a plan for them. And He's put them into our care and into our trust so that we could help Him at His instruction to help mold them into the kind of buildings that He has planned for them to be, to serve the purpose that He has planned for them to serve. So tonight, I want to challenge us when it comes to these new buildings. Let's help God. Let's teach Him. Let's teach these new buildings. Let's teach the little children that the Bible is the Word of God. That it's the plumb line that we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, that everything may change. Even people may try to change the Bible so that they can say, well, I'm living according to the Bible. Well, let's hold up the old King James Bible and say, this is the plumb line. Let's not change it. And let's teach them that the Bible is the Word of God, and they ought to order their life after the instructions that are in this book. Amen. Let's teach them about a God who loves them, who sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross to pay for their sins. And let's teach them that the only way to heaven is not by joining the church, is not by getting baptized, it's not by communion, but that the only way to heaven is to come by Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And little Becca and little Evan and Shaylin and Dominique, they're not too young for moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and Sunday school teachers and preachers to start telling them right now that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Let's teach them the song, "Yes, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Let's sing it to them when they're in the cribs. Let's sing it to them. Let's teach them the words. Let's get it in their heart that there's a God who loves them and sent His Son to die for them. And then when they get older and they begin to understand what sin is, and by the way, you grandpas and you grandmas and you moms and dads, you'll have a pretty good idea when that day comes. When that will flares up in them, and they know the difference between right and wrong, and they choose wrong, that's the very moment to witness to them the first time. and tell them about Jesus and tell them that they're a sinner because they've decided to do wrong. And let's pray and let's witness and let's bring them to Christ at an early age. I thank God for my grandmother. You've heard my testimony many times, how she shook her old bony finger in my face when I was a teenager and said, "You're a sinner headed for hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell." And that resounded in my mind over and over and over again. And when I came around the corner that morning and I heard her with her head bowed in tears praying for me, that's what led me to salvation. And there ought to be some moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and Sunday school teachers and preachers who shed tears for the new buildings that God has put in our care to get them saved, to get them to know Jesus as their Savior. Let's teach them that smoking is wrong. Let's teach them that drinking is wrong. Let's teach them that sex before marriage is wrong. Let's help them pick their friends. Let's help them pick their movies. Let's help them pick the books that they read and the magazines that they read and what they watch on television and the games that play. Let's do our best. You say, that's sheltering them from the world. We're going to warp their personalities. That's a bunch of hogwash from hell. That's what Satan wants to take these new buildings and he wants to mess them up. He wants to put scratches across the paint. He wants to tear down the wallpaper. He wants to destroy them. Let's build a hedge of protection around them. And let's encourage them and let's plead with them and let's protect them as much as we can to keep them pure and spotless and clean in the sight of God so that He can use them to do what He designed them and created them and made them to do. He has a perfect purpose. You've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. He has a purpose and a specific plan for Shaylin and for Dominique. And for Evan, and for Becca, and for every single little child, little baby that comes to this church, He has a specific plan. Let's help them stay clean and pure and spotless before God so that they can live that plan, so they can fill that purpose. So we have some new buildings in our church. But we also have some old buildings. Buildings that have been in God's use for many years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And they're still plugging 60 years, 70 years, 80. Oh, now, Millie, you ain't that old. Stay out of my preaching. But these old buildings are still plugging along. You're still teaching Sunday school. Still singing in the choir, still ushering, still doing what God created them and called them to do. Yeah, if you look real close, the paint's chipped a little bit. Everything may not work the way it was designed to work. And I think, Wanda, as you pointed out to Clint about this little pulpit here, there may be some creaks and rattles in the structure. There may be some wrinkles on the side, but praise God, they're still serving Him. Praise God, they're still being useful to Him. Praise God for these old buildings. They're our example. They're our encouragement to be faithful, to stick to the tasks that God's given us to do. And to tell you the truth, I don't know where to put myself. I don't know if I can identify with one of these old buildings or not. But I say, let's emulate them. Let's decide we're going to be exactly like them. Let's decide that we're going to keep plugging our way for God and doing what God created us to do until He takes us home. Do you ever stop and think there's no retirement plan in the Bible other than heaven? I don't find any place in this Bible where people quit serving God until He took them home. And I think the old buildings that we have in our church, I praise God for them because they're an example. And as Brother Clint testified a moment ago, you're never too old to be used by God. The fact that you're still here means that He's got something for you to do. So, there's some new buildings. There's some old buildings. And then, number three, we have some reclaimed buildings. We have some folks in our church that went into sin early in their life and messed up their life. And sin, as it does, takes you down, 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 down. Looks good when you first see it. Pleasurable for a season, the Bible says. But when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Sin takes you places you don't want to go, makes you do things you don't want to do, and keeps you a lot longer than you want to stay. And if you let it, sin every time will destroy your testimony for God and will destroy your usefulness for Him. The roof will start leaking. The windows will be broken out. The electricity will be turned off. The plumbing will be ripped out. And you'll get to a point in your life where you'll ask the question, can God use me? I've messed up my life. And you might as well bring in the wrecking ball. You might as well put that notice of condemnation on my life. You might as well just tear it down and destroy it. Then Jesus comes along and he says this, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And everybody else may have given up on you, but I want to tell you about somebody that never gives up on you, the Heavenly Father. Satan may have used you and discarded you. And by the way, that's what he does to every single person that he uses. He'll use you and then he'll throw you away. And you may have given up on yourself, but God never gives up on us. And he comes along and he says, I can save you if you'll let me. I sent my son to die for people just like you. Jesus didn't die for the good people. He died for all of us sinners. And amen to that, Brother Chuck. That's right. And Jesus comes along and he says, hey, your life is wrecked by sin. It's ruined by sin. Satan's discarded you. He can't use you anymore. But you know what? I can. And you come to me. And you get saved. Get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and get a home in heaven. And then Jesus says, I can use you. May not be for the same purpose that I made you for, but you can still be useful in my kingdom. Aren't you glad we have a second chance, God? And a third chance, God. I was thinking about it this afternoon. You know, when Peter came to Jesus and says, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times? And what did Jesus say? No, 70 times 7. 490 times. If you count that far, Jesus said, you'll lose count somewhere. Just keep forgiving them. I think that's how many chances we get with God. He never gives up on us. And he can use us. May have to fix a few things, like you do when you go into a building you're trying to reclaim. I mean, he may have to take the sledgehammer and break some walls out. He may have to take the sandpaper out and do some sanding. He might have to take the hammering out and do some hammering, because some of us have hard heads when we're trying to be reclaimed for God. And it may hurt a little bit, but God reclaims our life. He reclaims our life, and he uses us. He saves us from condemnation. He saves us from the wrecking ball. He says, I can use you. I can use you. And then number four, just like in the city, we have some vacant lots. People with lots of potential, but they sat empty. People that have talent, but not used for God. They can sing, but they're not in the choir. They don't sing specials. People that have ability, but they don't teach Sunday school. People that have influence, but they never bring anybody to church with them. They'll never tell anybody about Jesus. They come and they sit. And they have lots of potential. And by the way, I'm not mad at anybody like that, no more than I'm mad at an empty lot. I'm just saying, God's given you a whole bunch of potential. Don't waste it. Don't just set when you've been created by God for a purpose. And you have the potential that He's given you. Figure out what it is and then use it. Go to God and say, hey, God, I'm an empty lot. Whatever you want to build on me, go ahead and build it. Go ahead and build it. I submit my will to you. That's what we need to do. We need to get out of the way. We need to quit trying to boss God around. He don't need our help. We just need to get out of the way and say, okay, just like we sing in the song, Have Thine Own Way, I'm the clay. You're the potter. Mold me and make me after your will. That's what we need to say. We're God's building. Got some new ones. We need to make sure we take real good care of those. They're the future. They're the future. We got some old buildings. Need to make sure we take care of those too. Because they're our example of faithfulness. Got some reclaimed buildings. Let's not give up on people. Let's not be quick to condemn them because of what's happened in their past. If God sees them as useful vessels, then let's just join in with Him. And then we got some empty lots. And we need to pray for one another that will be used as God intended for us to be used. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for this simple truth. Thank you for the people that you brought into our church that make it up. I thank you for the little babies, the little children. What a great trust you've given us by bringing them into our lives. And I pray, Father, that we'd be all that we need to be as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents, as Sunday school teachers, as preachers, as Christians, that you could use us in just a little bit of a way to help mold those little new creatures into vessels that you can use in a mighty way. And then, Father, I thank you for the old buildings that we have, for those that have been faithful for year after year after year after year, who keep serving you. They get tired a lot easier than they used to. They get wore out. But they come right back. They're faithful to the task that you've given them. Father, thank you for the reclaimed ones. Thank you for never giving up on us. If you've given up on us, a lot of us might not be here tonight. But you don't give up on us. Thank you for reclaiming us from Satan and using us. And then, Father, I pray for the vacant lots. I pray that you'd show them again the potential that they have in your kingdom when they get busy. Bless the invitation now. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, help them see Him dying on the cross to pay for their sins. Help them see that He is the only way to heaven. It's not by good works, not by turning over a new leaf, not by joining the church. It's by coming to Jesus. Help them to come tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says. And we'll be faithful to give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.